just really grateful to see all of your faces. It just really, really blesses me. I have a little story. So I was sitting in a coffee shop the other day with my son, AJ, and we were having coffee, and there was this cute lady there, and she had these three boys, and I think that she was their nanny. And she was so engaged in talking to them that I just couldn't stop listening to her, because I thought the exchange between her and these boys was so sweet. And she had this one boy at this moment that I totally eavesdropped on, and his name was Jude. And so she was fully engaged in speaking with Jude. And she said, "Jude, tell me about your game this weekend." And Jude said, "Well, I felt really pressurized." And she just paused for a moment, and she said, "Tell me what pressurized means." And he said, "Well, the team was really good, so I felt really pressurized." And I just loved Jude's response. And I thought, like, how many of us feel really pressurized in these times that we're living in? Don't you feel pressurized? Sometimes I thought, I really like the word pressurized, you know? And as I was preparing for this study, I kept thinking, you know, the answer to being pressurized is seeking God's wisdom. If we want to become unpressurized, we need to be in God's word. We need God's wisdom, right? And so by reading his word, by applying his word, and by surrendering our pressures to him, his shoulders are able and ready and willing to handle all the pressures that we feel. We don't have to be pressurized as God's child. We can let that go and let him handle it. His shoulders are strong, and we are weak and we are feeble, but we are strong in him. So let's not be pressurized. Let's dig in to the word together. Let's be committed to this study on Proverbs, and let the one who's able to handle all the pressure carry it, because we are not able. We are like Jude. We're just overly pressurized by all the way better teams than us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you just in gratitude, Lord, with thanksgiving, God. We just ask that you would be glorified, that you would be exalted, and that you would impart your wisdom into each of our hearts, God. I pray that right now, as we gather together, whatever each woman here has brought in with them, the pressures of the world and the things maybe going on in their families or their jobs or whatever those things are, God, I pray that they would surrender to them, Lord. You're willing, you're able, and you're ready to carry those things for us, God. So I ask that tonight, God. I ask that you would teach each one of us, God. I pray that we would leave here changed, God, and that you would help us to remain faithful and committed, Lord, knowing the days that we live in, we need nothing more than your wisdom, God, your love to handle the pressures of this world. So, God, we invite you here, and we thank you ahead of time for your goodness and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Proverbs. Love the book of Proverbs. Who has a little special place in their heart for Proverbs? Is anyone? It's a little special place in my heart. I really, really like the book of Proverbs. So it's a workbook on wisdom, right? It's our guidebook for life. That's what the book of Proverbs is. And there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. So one chapter a day will keep foolishness away. So just remember that. Chapter a day will keep foolishness away. And as I prepared for tonight, I just felt really led to paint this picture of wisdom as we go through the Proverbs and how wisdom is attainable to us if we will just read it and then heed it, right? If we'll just do what it tells us to do. God's offering this amazing wisdom for us. The key verse in the whole book of Proverbs is found in chapter 1, verse 7. You probably know it. It's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's the key verse. Charles Colson said this, "The Bible, banned, burned, beloved, more widely read, more frequently attacked than any other book in history. Generations of intellectuals have attempted to discredit it. Dictators of every age have outlawed it and executed those who read it. Yet, soldiers carry it into battle, believing it more powerful than their weapons. Fragments of it smuggled into solitary prison cells have transformed ruthless killers into gentle saints." What a treasure, you guys, we have in the Word. Knowledge, the word knowledge means facts, just information and skills acquired by a person through experience or education, the theoretical practice of understanding a subject. That is what knowledge is. And we live in this generation of knowledge, don't we? We have knowledge. We have too much knowledge, right? It's at our fingertips 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we are just inundated with information and disinformation. And it's firing at us like rapid fire. And we honestly, we don't know how to process all of this stuff that we have the ability to know. And are we wiser for it? Are we wiser for all the knowledge that we have available to us 24 hours, 7 days a week? Are we wiser in this nation for embracing things like abortion and globalism and, you know, critical race theory and all the things that are being fired at us? Are we wiser for that? Are we wiser for that? I believe, no, we've gone backwards, right? We've gone backwards because fools are giving us knowledge, right? And if we listen to them, we become like them. But we don't have to because we, as Christians, the body of Christ, are filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you ever wonder, like, when you're listening to all the things going on, like, why don't they get this? I've said it a million times, like, this is common sense. And you know what I've realized? It's not common sense. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And we should have mercy for those who don't get it because they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Ladies, you have this power of the Holy Spirit that lives within you. Like, you get to be wise. You get to know God's heart. And we don't have to become like the fools that are filled with this abundant knowledge. We're not like them. We're like God. We are created in His image. And that's so beautiful. Just the last 2 years alone have just been intelligent man's knowledge. And it's utter foolishness. It's just, that's the result. So all this knowledge, but yet we're not wiser for it. Well, we are because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But in Proverbs 1:7, Solomon is relating this knowledge really to wisdom is what he means, which is so much different than just the gathering of information. The idea that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom is found throughout Scripture. And if you're taking notes and you want to jot down these scriptures, you can, but it's found in Job 28:28. Proverbs 1:11-10, Proverbs 9:10, and Ecclesiastes 12:13. So, this book of Proverbs is our instruction for daily living. It's that simple. J. Vernon McGee said this basically about Solomon writing this book. It says, "A proverb is a saying that conveys a specific truth in a pointed and pithy way. Proverbs are short sentences drawn from long experiences. A proverb is a truth couched in form that is easy to remember, a philosophy based on experience and a rule for conduct." So wisdom means it's more than just accumulating knowledge. It's the application of facts. I found it really interesting in studying through the book of Proverbs that every time wisdom is mentioned in the book of Proverbs, it's basically personified as she and her. It's got this feminine description in talking about wisdom. And I don't think it's per se because women are just naturally wiser than men. So if you got like a little, you know, cocky about that, you need to get knocked down a few levels. I think why, I really prayed over this and I was like, why is it always in this feminine term? And I think it's because it's connected to our emotion. And it's not only, it basically, when God is giving you this wisdom, it's supposed to hit your heart and affect your action. So it's supposed to do that. Like it's like this wisdom filled with emotion that's supposed to hit your heart and affect your action, right? When we're passionate about something, does it not affect your actions? It does, right? And so I believe that's why. When Pastor Dave Pierce was here, he said this, and I was like, oh, he said it just for the women. He said, we can never exhaust the wisdom of God's word. And we can't. So if you want to be wise, you need to dig into the word of God. Remember, you don't have wisdom outside of God. And if you're listening to all the crazies in the world, you definitely don't have wisdom. So you find it in the word of God. And that is the heart of our women's ministry, is that we would grow in the wisdom that God gives us through his word, and specifically in this Proverbs study, we're just getting this opportunity, which is so cool. So godly knowledge versus worldly knowledge. It's found several times throughout scripture. A few are, one is Hosea 4:6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Isaiah 5:13 says, therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Jeremiah 5:4 says, therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. Solomon is described in 1 Kings 4:32 through 34. It says he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also, he spoke of trees from the cedar of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. And men of all nations from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, which is very, very cool. So Proverbs 1:7 is repeated multiple times throughout scripture. Obviously, it's very important to the heart of God. If you want to be wise, you fear the Lord, right? And I won't go through all those scriptures, but if you want them, I have them written down. But I will say this, Colossians 3:22 says this, bondservants, which is us, right? Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. So what exactly is the fear of the Lord? What is it? I like this definition from a commentator. His last name's Bridges. And it says, it is the affectionate reverence by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to his father's law. I love that. It's a choice. As we just go through this book of Proverbs, will you purposely ask God to give you and grant you the wisdom of the knowledge of Christ? There's nothing more beautiful, special, and perfect than that. Just ask him. James 1:5 tells us that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Have you asked the Lord lately for wisdom? Have you even, like, you can ask him daily, many times throughout the day, but lately I've been writing in my journal, like, right away, like, Lord, I don't even want to face today without your wisdom. Like, sometimes, I know Tamar talked about this, I think at our workshop, she said, like, I don't even get out of bed anymore without asking the Lord for the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. Ladies, we have, like, way too much to face in this world to go about it without having sought God's wisdom, without having sought the power of his Holy Spirit. Make it your habit, make it your practice, like, to just ask the Lord, I don't know what today looks like for me. I have no idea. I have like we think we have a basic understanding. I'm going to get up and do this, 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 and this. But honestly, for most of us, the second we step out of bed, like things are already unraveling and falling apart. Is it true? Where you're just like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. And you're like, hold up, I need God's wisdom. I need God's power. Like, I need to stop right here. The first point, that was a long intro, but the first point is practical truths. It said, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. So if you know anyone that uses isms, you guys know what isms are? I love that. It's basically they use them to make a point. And you know that when they use those things that they stick with you, right? Because they're usually funny. They're short. They kind of get your attention. And my husband's grandfather, Pop, he used to say my favorite one. I think I've shared it with you before. But whenever he'd have a nice full meal, he would always push back his chair and sit back and rub his belly, and he would say, I've had my mannerly sufficiency, and any more would be superfluous. And I love that. I'm like, I totally hear you. So I've always remembered that, and I love it. And being a West Coast girl and having moved to Texas, I love Southern isms. Like, if you guys want to spend like a few minutes with Robin sometime tonight, Robin's like I can't even quote her because they're so funny. What's that one about the frog?
Oh, when it rains so much, it's a frog strangler.
I love that. I love that. But I love some of them. I read some of them. And this could be true for a lot of us ladies sometimes, is she can start an argument in an empty house.
<That's true.
laughs> What about, he thinks the sun comes up just to hear him crow? Or this one's my favorite for the cheapskates. He squeezes a quarter so tight the eagle screams. I like that one. That's a good one. What about mom isms, right? Moms are infamous for isms, right? If you're too full to finish your dinner, you're too full for dessert. Said just like that, right? This one always got me, is always wear clean underwear in case you get in an accident, because that's your main concern, right? Obviously, money does not grow on trees, right? Disappointing as it is. There's even money trees, and it's so misleading because they don't have money on them. Eat everything on your plate because obviously there are starving children all over the world that would love to change places with you, right? You'd forget your head if it wasn't attached to your shoulders. And don't sit too close to the TV because obviously you'll go blind, right? We love that. But dadisms are even better. I'm not sleeping. I'm just resting my eyes. That is like the best. Like, why don't men like to sleep? Admit to being sleepy. Turn off the lights. Do you think I'm made of money? This is my husband. Don't forget to check your oil. This is also him. A little pain never hurt anybody. And this is also him. Go ask your mother. And there's wisdom in these funny little sayings, right? They stick with you, but they're not inspired per se by God Almighty, right? But that's the beauty of the Proverbs, is they're quick, they're true, they're effective, right? They're filled to the max with the Holy Spirit. So as fun as isms are, if you're going to memorize something, memorize the Proverbs, because they are equally witty, but they're like, they give you a punch. They're much better. A few of my favorite Proverbs that time and time again shed fresh wisdom on my situation always, and you probably know several of these, is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. I love it. You trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Sometimes I just need to say that out loud. So good. Proverbs 10:19. I love this. I used to use this a lot with my kids, but in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. I also need to apply it to myself. But he who restrains his lips is wise. And Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I love that that's like in the Bible. It's just so cut and dry. 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Very true. 16:24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. 25:28, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. And my last favorite, well, that I wrote down, is 31:30, charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Love that one. The second point is profound lessons. What's really interesting is the Proverbs bear no unscientific statement or inaccurate observation. Although it was written so many years ago, here's an example. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issue of life. And did you know that 2,700 years later, an English professor named William Harvey was the first known physician to describe completely and in detail the systematic circulation of blood being pumped to the brain and the rest of the body by the heart. Very cool. It's also, the Proverbs are an encouragement for hard work, right? You guys know this one. Proverbs 6:6-8 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. And I love that we're supposed to be like this little teeny tiny ant, right? Like, is there even any room in an ant's body for a brain? Like, they're so teeny tiny, and yet, like, we're supposed to watch them, right? Because they're an example to the lazy person, right? They never stop working. They're always gathering. They're always diligent. They just keep going. They just keep at it. And we can apply this, like, in our life by watching this little creature that God created. Is like, are we seeking first the kingdom of God? Are we always at it? Are we always seeking the kingdom of heaven? Are you? Are we? Sometimes not. I love this one, the good and the bad of our tongues, that the Proverbs reminds us of so often. But Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Amy Carmichael said, if I can enjoy a joke at the expense of another, if I can in any way slight another in conversation or even in thought, then I know nothing of Calvary love. I was listening the other day to a message. I was listening to Raul Ruiz. I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he's great. And he was talking about this proverb, and he said, he was just talking about the power of the tongue. And he said, how dangerous would it be if women had two mouths? And I just really laughed. He probably got in trouble when he got home. But I thought, like, wow, like the wisdom of God, one mouth, two ears. Like, right? We don't need two mouths. One causes plenty of trouble. But if you contrast that with Proverbs 31:26, it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. I have found lists over the years, especially when I've moved, of things that I've had my kids write for each other, like if they weren't being nice to one another, like, I need you to write 10 things that you like about, you know, your brother or your sister. And I found a list, you know, for my daughter, and it says, like, I like Jacob's blue eyes and his sense of humor and his taste in music. And I thought, like, what treasures that is to just redirect your mind and think about how, like, we have these nuggets of truth in these Proverbs that remind us, like, of all the goodness of God. If you're having a bad day and you're thinking, like, I don't like this person, I hate this person, I don't want to go to the store, I stubbed my toe today, like, the TV's broken, the laundry doesn't work, my kid's bugging me, whatever it is, like, if you'll just be like, you know what, I'm just going to open Proverbs for a minute. I promise you, you're going to find a nugget of truth in there that's going to hit you. It's going to punch you straight in the heart. And I know my personal favorite as a mom is Proverbs 22:6, where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And what mom here hasn't held on to that proverb? For 26 years, I've been reminding God of this proverb. I have, you know, like, Lord, you said this, and I know that God will be faithful to complete what he says he will complete, right? He is good. He's faithful. So we can hold on to these beautiful things. So I know we kind of jumped all over the place with this overview, but what I really hope is that it just whet your appetite for the Proverbs. So as we dig into this study, I pray that this study will just get into our hearts, you know, that we will learn, we will apply it, and we will gain the wisdom that God wants for us. And I want to remind you to allow God to unpressurize you. So let's be faithful as we study God's word to allow him to unpressurize us by seeking him first, by not carrying the burdens, by choosing to unload them on him. Don't become pressurized by this world. Don't do it. As we close, I want to share this quote from Elizabeth Elliot. She shared it. She held on to it when her husband Jim was martyred for his faith. And it's an old Saxon poem, and I love it. It says, do it immediately, do it with prayer. Do it reliantly, casting all care. Do it with reverence, tracing his hand. Who placed it before thee with earnest command. Stayed on omnipotence, safe neath his wing. Leave all resultings, do the next thing. And that's just wonderful. We just need to do the next thing. So my challenge for you is that you would find one proverb. There's only 31 chapters. You could read them all tonight really quickly. Find one verse in one proverb that you hold on to throughout this whole 8-week study. And you pray that proverb. You ask God to embark wisdom on that proverb to your heart, and you hold on to that proverb. So whatever it is, that's your challenge. And I want you to share it with me and your group leaders and everything like that. But I want to know that that's your challenge, okay? I'm getting back to you at the end of 8 weeks to see if you did it. So I am going to close this out in prayer, and then Val's coming up. Heavenly Father, we just praise you. We thank you, God, for your goodness, Lord, for the wisdom that you so freely offer us, God. We count on you. We depend on your faithfulness, God. I ask, Lord, that you would speak your truth into our hearts, God, that you would help us to remain faithful and in your word, God. And I pray that the book of Proverbs will change our lives and our walks, God, and that it would draw us to you to be more heavenly, kingdomly minded, God, and just fall in love with you more and more, Jesus. Bless our group time. Bless these ladies, God. For those that aren't here tonight, we pray over them for sickness, health, whatever is going on with them. We just ask that you would meet them where they're at and show them how special they are to you. In Jesus' name, amen.